It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the World Health Organization released a report on adolescent health worldwide with serious concerns about things like depression, suicide, and traffic accidents. An expert explains the report's findings and how we can improve teen health.
Our next guest has been called a female Indiana Jones. She spends a lot of time on expedition in Africa and the island of Madagascar. Along the way, she discovered the mouse lemur, created a gorilla sanctuary, and journeyed through jungles to work with the animals she loves.
She's exploring Wisconsin next Tuesday, May 20th. She'll talk about her wildlife at the Overture Center in Madison.
Mireya Mayer joins us now. She's a primatologist, explorer, and a correspondent for National Geographic TV. She's also the author of the book called Pink Boots and a Machete. Mireya, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, you've had an incredible career. Can you tell us how you went from being kind of a city girl from the States to an explorer who lives for months at a time in the jungle working with wildlife?
Well, I think it shocked my very overprotective Cuban parents because I did grow up in this big city and, you know, really there wasn't the opportunity to embrace nature maybe the way that I would envision an explorer doing. But I always loved animals as a kid, and I was extremely adventurous, constantly climbing trees and jumping off rooftops and all sorts of things. So it's not quite a shock to me that I ended up in this field, but it was a divergence. I mean, not only was I a city kid, I was an NFL cheerleader for the Miami Dolphins. So again, not exactly what you'd imagine Indiana Jones doing in his spare time.
Right. So you got from there to Africa. You became a primatologist. How did that happen?
Well, I was in college at the University of Miami, and I took an anthropology course as a science requirement, but I was actually in pre-law. And I fell in love with the subject, and when I learned about how many endangered primates there were on the verge of extinction and we knew nothing about them, I decided that I wanted to do something about it. And I literally, within 2 months of making that decision, found myself in one of the most unexplored, most remote areas of South America, hacking through Amazon rainforest.
Mm. Wow. Well, we're going to move around because you've had such an interesting career working with all kinds of different animals. I want to talk about the lemurs of Madagascar because you have a special place in your heart for them. What first drew you to them, and when did you first start working with them?
Well, Madagascar's lemurs have just been named the most endangered animal on the planet. And when I first started working with them, we knew how rare they were, that they were on the verge of extinction. And all I could find were line drawings of some of these animals. There weren't even photographs in existence. So I decided that I wanted to go and be the first person to study some of these unknown species. And when I got to Madagascar, I just fell in love with the island. I fell in love with the people, the wildlife there. And really, it just became a second home.
Mm. And you made a special discovery, the mouse lemur, I think it's called.
That's right. It's the world's smallest primate, and I discovered it with my colleague, Dr. Ed Lewis. And it weighs less than 2 ounces and fits in the size of your palm. And I always like to say that most of those 2 ounces is eyes. I mean, they have these huge, incredible big eyes and this tiny little body, and they're just phenomenal animals.
So what needs to be done for lemur conservation? You said they're among the most endangered species. What are you hoping will happen?
Well, one of the things that threatens the lemurs, or the main thing, is deforestation. And I think just raising awareness, even an interview like this or going to the Overture Center and talking about their plight is incredibly meaningful for the island of Madagascar, just raising awareness. You know, people make choices every day that impact not just locally, but globally, you know, whether it's the products they buy, the wood materials they use. And that's something that's very important to the lemurs of Madagascar.
You've said that when you get off the plane in Africa, that it just feels like home to you. How do you explain that sense of familiarity that you have there?
It was the strangest sensation. I remember stepping off the plane, and something about the sights and the sounds and even the smells was just very familiar. And the people in Madagascar are incredibly welcoming and friendly and generous. And it was almost as if I was stepping into, you know, distant relatives' homes. when I first arrived there. You know, I was 20-odd years old. You know, this is now, I guess, 15 years ago was the first time I went there. And what was supposed to be a three-month project ended up being 10 months at a time for years and years. I just suddenly felt very at home in this very exotic land.
And you've been lucky enough to do a lot of your work there, and you've worked with, you know, animals that are not very threatening, like lemurs, but you've also had some kind of close shaves with animals out there in the wild. Can you tell us about one of the more difficult situations you've come across?
No, I've been very fortunate in my career. Yes, I spent many years working in Madagascar and continue to do so, but I became a National Geographic explorer and correspondent making wildlife documentaries. And I remember the first time they asked me, would you feel comfortable talking about other animals on camera? And I probably knew little at the time, but I said yes, because I love the idea of being able to work with animals such as leopards and giraffes and sharks and, you know, giant humboldt squid. And I got to do all of this. And I certainly have had very close encounters, for example, with gorillas, you know, 450-pound silverback charging you. You know, gives you a rush every time, no matter how many times.
Wait, you know, being it's happened more than once by you?
It's happened more times than I can possibly count.
Oh my gosh.
You know, being chased by forest elephants, you know, coming across and almost stepping on venomous snakes is, I should have been a herpetologist because I have a knack for finding the most dangerous snakes on the planet. So there's certainly been some close calls, and I've nearly died in the field of other things. I say the most dangerous animal in the field is a mosquito, which most people don't think about when they think about dangerous creatures. But of course, they carry malaria, which is so deadly in so many parts of this world. Mm. And I've had the fortune of encountering that, too.
Okay, well, I got to ask. So I hope it never happens to me, but what do you do when you're charged by a 400-pound silverback gorilla?
You do the most difficult, counterintuitive thing there is, which is to remain perfectly calm and still. And actually, the best thing to do is to act like a gorilla and become submissive as if you're part of the group. And so generally, I cower down, you know, so that they don't feel intimidated by size and they feel as big as they are, and pretend to eat plants, which is what they do in an aggressive situation. So you basically, you want to become one with the gorilla in that case.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not what I would have expected. I would have expected run like crazy, but yeah.
No, the last thing you want to do is run. But on the other hand, with forest elephants, which are quite agile and limber for their size, you do want to run and climb up a tree if possible.
Wow. Well, a lot has been made about the fact that, you know, you're obviously you're a woman doing this job and you're out there in the jungle. You're fending with, you know, poisonous snakes and being charged by elephants. And a lot of times people don't think of women as being the ones in the field doing this kind of work. What words of encouragement would you say to young women out there who might want to do a career like this one?
I say if you want to do it, if you can dream it, go for it. You know, for me, I had a lot of people say, you know, that it's a crazy idea, you shouldn't do it, it's dangerous. I have had the time of my life doing what I do, and I really do believe that anything that you can envision doing is possible. The truth is that there are a lot of women that are doing what I do, and we're not very well represented, say, at the televisual forefront. You know, we usually picture khaki-clad men with British accents, you know, in the field wrestling alligators and that sort of thing. But the truth is that there are many women out in the field every single day doing what I do.
I know a big part of your mission is conservation. What do you hope that your work accomplishes as far as conservation goes?
Well, I would say, yes, that the biggest mission for me is conservation, you know, raising that awareness, letting people know that there's all these amazing places and animals that are on the verge of extinction, and really trying to bring people through the media and through communication efforts to these places when they can't leave, you know, their own homes, and just bringing that beauty, that magnificence, that wonder to them.
Well, Maria,
and my hope,
oh,
of
sure,
course,
go ahead.
Is that people will care. No, I mean, my hope is that people will care and make an effort to help preserve these places and animals.
Maria, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoy Madison.
My pleasure, and I can't wait. Thank you so much.
That was Maria Mayor, primatologist, explorer, and a correspondent for National Geographic TV. She's the author of Pink Boots and a Machete.